All right, beautiful. So this morning, to summarize, what I feel to share is this. We're aiming and we're ongoingly moving towards becoming a mature church, a mature body, a mature family, a mature people. And under that umbrella, there are many things that the Lord is busy with and will be busy with and points us to. But ultimately, capping off what's been an interesting few months, weeks, camp, way out of town, is ultimately, right at the end, the Lord is saying he wants to make us a mature church and a mature body. That would be the one thing that he would want to say to us, that we would continue in that, know that that's where he's taking us, and understanding why this matters to our Father in heaven, and knowing the part that each of us play in becoming mature, because it takes every single one of us to become mature. And even the newest believer, or the youngest part of the body, or even the weakest link, who I don't like to use, but even the smallest part, more the newest believer, maybe the one with the biggest challenges and with the biggest limp at the moment coming into the kingdom, Lord is interested in you. In fact, probably the most. Because as you strengthen and play your part, we all mature. So he's into the full sum of us coming into all that he's called us to walk in and grow in. So we're going to explore a mature church from a place of wholeness and a mature church in a place of effectiveness and an activated body. And we'll probably look a little bit about activating our faith mostly this morning. If you have your Bibles, you may follow. It is scripture. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a Dion Delport power presentation. Not quite there yet. But it is the living word of God from 1 Thessalonians. Okay, the first book, the church of Thessalonica, modern day Greece, 1 to 10. Just 10 verses right at the start. Let's read together. I'll read from the NIV UK. You can read from your favorite Bible version. This will be NIV, the old one, the safe one. So, Paul, Silas, and Timothy are writing this letter to the church together. Team, already right in the first three words, four words. There is team to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. Verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord Jesus. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, the region. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to now serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Yo, there's so much in those 10 verses. I hope we can just extract the truth and life and encouragement and the power of God in those 10 verses. There were characteristics there of this wonderful church. Now, as we know, Paul wrote letters to the church, the churches in the New Testament, and many were getting things right, but many were being challenged quite strongly. As early as the church was birthed, they were getting many things wrong. As we know, Corinthians, and you look at the Galatians, you foolish Galatians. But this church in this part of Greece was getting a lot right. They'd become a model church from the very early part of their existence. And it's a beautiful picture to look at, especially in the first book, the second book as well. But second book mostly dealing with the last days and the end times. They were thinking that they were already expecting the return of Jesus then, and we're looking at the world around us, right, and putting on the news channels and going, Jesus, surely any day now, you must be returning. How much more of this can you bear, let alone how much more can we bear when we look at the world around us? It is creaking and quaking and breaking everywhere. But he's on his throne, and he's alive, and he's made us new creations in him. And as Mark or somebody shared this morning, even when we cease to be, when the life in this earthly tent comes to an end, we go on living with him. How many people are we going to tell and take with us? That is the question. How many people are we going to reflect him to? The one who gives life. He says to be joyful and rejoice in what? In the fact that your names are written in the book of life. Not that the demons submit to you, not that you can walk in power and be used by me in powerful ways, but rejoice that your names, church, I'm talking to majority of us who are saved, born again believers, rejoice. Be filled with joy, be thankful, smile. We have our names written in the book of life. It is incredible. This is the message that is on our hearts for a world that has no answers, that is in devastation. We have the answers. And this church in the early part of the church life knew that and saw that. They were known for their work, their labor, and their endurance. When you got saved, did you know that our salvation would be about work, labor, and endurance? I didn't when I first got saved. I kind of thought it was just, this is a wonderful honeymoon. This is incredible. But the Lord does call us to work and labor and endurance. But please don't see those words in an earthly, worldly way. You see, because there's something that was behind those words. You know what it was? Faith, love, and hope. There's the anchor. There's the life. That's what's found in Jesus and him alone. You see, faith, love prompted labor. Faith allowed work to happen, and hope gave them endurance. It's the same for us. Jesus' work ended on the cross. That was his work to do. Ours is to continue a continuation of work and labor and endurance. But if we try and do that in our strength, we will really, really struggle. And if we do it in faith and in hope and in love, Jesus working through us will be a joyful, beautiful experience. And what will be known of us is that our faith will ring out to the world around us, the region around us first, and then all over the world. And guess what? We won't need to say anything about it. A mature church, people hear what the Lord is doing in you without needing to Instagram it or shout it from the microphones. They didn't have those then anyway. So the only way they could hear about it was faith at work. And the message rang out all over the region. And it was a beautiful, beautiful witness. And Paul and Silas and Timothy were able to write and say, well done, church. Mature church. Becoming a mature church. So we aim at love. We seek all of these beautiful things that the church was known for in that time. We invite that into our lives. And we ask, how do we do that? Well, we have relationship. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had relationship with the Thessalonian church. When Paul and Silas couldn't get there, they sent Timothy to be amongst the church in Thessalonica so that they could be with the people and help them mature and be in their lives. It's the same with us. We have partner churches. We have members all over the world. We're in one another's lives constantly all the time to help us to all become a reflection. All the churches that we can possibly impact and have relationship in the world around us, strengthening one another, helping one another to grow and mature. But that takes relationship, okay? So let me talk a quick story about relationship. I have a wonderful friend, as many of you do, named Ryan Kingsley. Ryan and his wife, Leilani. Beautiful friends, wonderful relationships. Once we were invited to their house, more than once, but there's one particular time. It was for a specific reason. So how are you, Neil? We're just hanging out, having some food. So when you sit down in classical Ryan fashion, so let me just ask you about that thing. So you guys have been married how many years now? We'd been married 7 years at the time. So it went along the lines of, so you're quite enjoying your marriage, eh? We have 7 years, 3 Anchor Bay, we've got a little lock-up flat, go to the movies anytime, go away any weekend we want. We could just lock up and go. It's wonderful. Didn't even have to do much. And he said, yeah, so what about children? Hey, have you guys thought about that? Of course we want children, but you've been married 7 years. Have you guys, like, discussed it? I'm quite enjoying my life right now, to be honest with you. But here's the thing. I wasn't that courageous to quite say that, but that's what my heart was saying at the time. It was actually, we're enjoying one another. And I think that was the point he was getting at. It was like, it's wonderful, but for the kingdom of God to extend, it's a beautiful thing to grow family and to have children. And guess what? The people that you're loving and influencing will also see something of the Lord's growth in your lives as you trust him to grow your family. And it'll be a beautiful thing. Now we obviously see the fruit of that, but it took a friend to step in and go there and go beyond the lunch and just actually, like, can I just ask you something? Are you a bit fearful maybe? I was like, no, I don't have, not too fearful. I don't have to have a child. But my wifey would say, she was a little bit. And so I'm so thankful for those moments. Imagine if that person didn't say that or speak that into us, we would not have been shaped in that way towards maturity. This is how we mature. Sometimes the very basic common one-on-ones is not rocket science, but it's just life deposited into one another. So that was my very interesting story. I look back at that fondly, and I'm so thankful. So a mature church. Oh, he did that to me many times, Ryan. I know some of us will be very aware. And may we be that to one another. May we be those friends to one another. May we ask for it. May we ask for input. Isaac asked for input on his birthday just recently this year. What he wanted for his birthday was lots of things. He loves to spend time with people. That's probably his greatest love language. But he asked some of his friends to, when we have a coffee or hang out for the birthday, could we actually bring something to him that we feel he could mature in or grow in? And he asked us, and he followed up, and he said, when are we having that coffee? And a few of us just hung out with Isaac and just shared something into his life. It's not easy to do that. He's a good friend, and it's not easy, let alone new friends as we make. But you know what? Because Isaac opened his heart, made a way. And I hope what friends shared was helpful. And we really do hope the Lord was doing that and involved in that. But yes, this is a sign of maturity. Okay, so a mature church becomes confident. We become confident in sharing our stories with one another. What Jesus is currently doing in our hearts. How we encountered him, how we got saved, how we are developing our relationship with him, that on our hearts we have this confident, growing, maturing ability to just share Jesus and what he's doing with one another. Now, being effective looks like a number of things as a congregation or as a church. We are a people that are very intentional about raising up leaders so that we can be a place and a family that can look after and care for more and more young saints in the Lord. The church needs leaders constantly, not only here, but also in the families across the city and the world where they may need to be help or sending or growth or extension down the line. So we look for people that are firstly faithful and available and submitted and teachable. Those types of characteristic traits that say, here I am, use me, I'm fast. With a capital F-A-S-T, which really just stands for being faithful and available. Some would say approachable. I like to say available. If you can just be available, God will use you. It's the first step. And faithful with what he's given you. If it's one person to care for, if it's some AV work to make everyone's life easier, just be faithful with that. Oh, I think I did that for 4 years when I got saved. Faithful till the very end. Doing the little things that God asks us to do, to be available and faithful, but then to be submitted and to actually allow somebody within the life of the church that is more mature, that's gone ahead, to actually submit my life under that person or those people, or that family, to just speak, just, you know, talk to me about kids, about marriage, about my life, any areas that don't reflect Jesus well, what are those? And I submit and I hear and I allow people into my lives. It's a way of allowing people into my lives. It's actually allowing the Lord deeper into my lives, my life. Yeah. For the Lord to really get into my heart, he's got to use people because that's how he speaks. He speaks directly, but he uses people. He's used people from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible. It's always used people, as frail as we are. But he's so big and so great that he can use even the most imperfect of us. and then to be teachable. Now, I just want to say on the FAS, T is a big one. So I think being teachable is really a posture. It's a way of posturing our heart and our body. Andrew Selu, who started our church, Joshua Generation, always has a posture towards people in leadership or people around him. His posture would always be, I go in with the attitude that I know nothing and that you know more than me. So therefore, I'm listening in a different way. So I go in to connect with Mark, believing that Mark knows more than me in this moment. So I come lower with my heart posture. Not, I'm coming into Mark, but I think I already know something. So I'm going to listen to you, but I believe that actually I'm unteachable. A teachable posture is you come in low as if I don't know and as if I don't understand, and then I listen and I take on board. I allow myself to be taught. It's a teachable posture. It's a teachable spirit. Versus always wanting to teach or bring your own thing. It's not a posture that God can use. So as a maturing church, we need to be fast. Whether you feel you're called to leadership or not, God's looking for people to be fast. F-A-S-T. Okay. A mature church is effective in multiple things, as well as going together. Mark spoke about us going as a people to another congregation or two. We're going to go as one body. And we believe in that because, you know, we don't want to be a people that are only gathering and only staying and only getting, because that's a people that move nowhere. Firstly, we won't physically go anywhere in the Lord, but actually from a maturity point of view and an effectiveness point of view, we won't grow. As we grow, as we go, right, Reeve? When Reeve goed, when he went, he grew. Look at him, he's married now to the wonderful Cloudy. Thank goodness he went. Was it easy when we sent him? No, we don't want to lose great friends. But as he went, he grew. And so we are a going people, not a gathering people. We're a sending people, not a staying people. And we're a giving people, not a getting people. That is just a short summary way of saying who we are as New Testament believers. As the church of the living God in our day and age, we are a apostolic and prophetic movement as a New Testament church. That's what we see in the New Testament. That's the pattern of Jesus. And that's what we are living in and aiming for and wanting to mature in. Prophetic and apostolic speaks of building and the future and hope. And with that means we go. Okay. So when we go to a family visit in our city, starting in our close geographical area, come with us, but be partakers, be involved. Don't hold back. Take a home group week, take a week before we go, and pray. And trust that God will give every single one of you and every single one of us something for that congregation. Ask him for a name or a face. Ask the leader for a list of every member in the church. And pray over every name. And you don't need Mark, Marius, Isaac, Dion, or I to actually do that. So what I'm trying to get at is just be activated. Just be free to, if you think your idea is too wild, just run it past us. But just if you're not sure. But imagine that type of activation where we go to Woodstock, 80, 90, 100 of us with kids, and we blow wind into their sails for a Sunday afternoon and see that church come into even a greater degree of health, maturity, life, but we will also mature and grow. So let's be activated for those visits, but not only them, there's many others. Camilla is currently in Bredasdorp. As you know, her dad, Yannicka's dad as well, her sister's here somewhere, has been going to a church in Bredasdorp that has become a Joshua Generation congregation. But they were a whole different church before, with on their own, but in a different sort of field or movement. And they saw something of life, and they partnered in, they became one with us. But they're a work in progress, and they're growing. So I said to Camilla, with all your visits, every 5 or 6 weeks, go check on Dad, how is he doing? Why don't you, next time, take your home group, or take a few of us. So Camilla's pioneering that. She's coming to us tomorrow to come talk about it. How can I set that up? Good, set it up. You go. You make it happen. We'll come around and we'll support and we'll motivate some people. So it can be any one of us. thinking that way and being an effective self-starter. Okay. Any one of us. God can use any one of us. Mark spoke about 100 going to Bloemfontein, the land of Millies. As he said it, I was like, yes. We should get Millies here as well, eh? What's the point of 100 people going? Oh, my word. Imagine if you're the ones receiving 100 people into your homes. You know, the Isle of Man Church was one congregation on the Isle of Man, all alone, once upon a time. And in the first year, 70 people flew over from Cape Town to go and live with them. Just the fact that 70 South Africans paid money to go and live in their homes on this tiny little island changed that church forever. They were astounded, not by the ones coming to do the teaching and the preaching. They were astounded by you and I, the normal people that went with. Changed that island forever. That island's 7-8 congregations now. They are changing the UK. They are planting. They're involved in the Netherlands, who are now 4-5 congregations. God's life broken out. Where did it start? Started with 70 people going and being activated and adding themselves and probably wondering, what am I even going to do here? Well, you don't know until you go and live with people, okay? And just extend ourselves and be used by God. We were used the first time. I had another moment with Mr. Kingsley where I went to a equip time. And Ryan came to me at the lunchtime because the topic of the day was how the nations were just, it was a significant opening up of the nations and churches wanting to partner and just build in with us. And the question on everyone's lips was, where are you going? So Ryan came to me at lunch and said, hey, Neil, how's it going? How's everyone? How's Taryn and the kids? Where are you going, bro? And I was like, typically, Ryan, I was a little bit caught off guard. I should have an answer now. And then I said, well, actually, I am going somewhere. By the way, I'm trusting to go to Sweden. And he's like, oh, yes, because that pastor connected with us because one of our saints, Daniela, actually went to Sweden and went to a church and we got on the phone and he was like, hey, tell us more, let's connect. So I said, I'm actually going. And he said, great. That guy, that pastor came to the Isle of Man conference or the Netherlands conference and we met him. I said, I know. I told him about it and he actually got on a plane and was so excited. And he said, so why don't you not go alone, Neil. Why don't you go with some of the Dutch guys? Come at lunch, I'll connect you with them. I said, oh yeah, team, that would be a whole lot better. And then I had the help of my friends helping me to get there, being generous, helping me to get on a plane and take the time to be away from Taryn and the kids for a whole 17 days. It was a long time. And I then got to meet Reeve, who was there in Germany at the time, an old friend. He got on the trip with me. We met Cloudy, who was in Germany. We had a brief meeting, which was so good to meet Cloudy for the first time on our way to Sweden. And we were in a car with some Dutch guys. And I had to step out in a big way because I had to make new relationships and lead a team of foreign guys that aren't part of our congregation, but to watch their hearts going, Neil, you leading, we're alongside. Tell us how we can be used. And let's team together and we partnered together. And we got into Sweden and we didn't know what to do, so we just stopped and prayed. And then we didn't know who we were going to meet and what the church was like, and so we just prayed. And God used us beautifully, didn't he, Reef? It was an incredible time, and we were busy. And we got out of the boat in many ways that we wouldn't have if we just stayed. And we saw God do things, and we had relationships built that were incredible in that time. It was one of the best things I've ever done. In my life. The only downside was not having my family with me to experience all of that. But we've done that since and we'll continue to contend for that because when we go together, it's always so much better. I'm so thankful I didn't travel alone. That would have been so boring. But to do it and meet new friends was the most incredible, incredible experience. A maturing church. A mature church is effective in prayer and in worship, as well as our going and our family building. Prayer and worship. Now I want to say that our organic moments and times of prayer and worship will never stop. This is the life of God flowing out of us. How cool was Thursday night, by the way? Incredible to spend 2 hours in worship with you guys. But I think there's a moment for us even to partner in a different way with some of our gifts and our passions, prayer, worship being the two that I'm focusing on now. And sometimes coming behind leaders and saying, what can we pray for? You know what it would do for us sometimes to go, what is it that we can get behind? I have a passion for prayer. I want to use my home for more worship and prayer time. Can we find out what's on your heart? What's on the heart of the nations? What's going on right now in our areas of influence across the world? What are the needs? There are multiple, guys. You can only imagine. What is it that we can get behind and support in our personal lives, in our congregation's life, in the churches around us, our country, city, and the nations of the world? And so if you carry a passion for just spontaneously breaking up in prayer, worship, even the prophetic, please come and talk to us and say, this is my passion. How do I support where you guys are going? What you're sensing in the Lord? How can we get behind that? And so you're inviting yourself in a way to get into the flow. And let's see what the Lord does. So I want to say to you, keep activating yourself in those passions, those areas. But bring that in. Bring that with. There's so much need out there. And your prayers, our prayers, are actually such a powerful weapon to see activation, to see breakthrough, to see strongholds come down. There's so much to contend for. And yes, we will sometimes call us to pray as a family. But actually, every day, as we go, pray continually, Paul writes in these New Testament letters. Pray constantly for his needs, for the church's needs, and for the work across the regions. That was always the flow. Our needs, what we're facing, the local congregation, the church, and the needs of our area of influence. They've been there since the early church, and the needs and the opportunity is still here today. There's so much. Okay. Yeah, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your church, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you've called us into a victorious, victorious army, a victorious family. You've called us into victory, Lord. We are the ones that are victorious in this life because of what you've done for us on the cross. You've saved us. You've brought us into your family. You've brought us into your eternal home. And you've brought us into your mission. You've brought us into your story. It is an incredible, incredible privilege. And we're thankful for that this morning. Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, and he says in the back of the first book, he speaks about God's will for his people, God's will for his church, and he says it's to rejoice, to pray continually, and to rejoice in all circumstances, and to be thankful. And today we had some circumstances and some situations that we were called to see, to bring those to the Lord. And this is what he calls us to do in prayer, to be thankful, joyful, watchful as well, in all circumstances, to pray continually in the joy that he gives us. The joy that he gives us is that we are his children, saved and secured for eternity. That's where we find our joy. And from that place, give thanks in all circumstances and pray continually, filled with joy. And this is God's will for your life. Sometimes we're not sure of God's will and we don't get activated or engaged because we're longing to find his will. You know, his will is live rejoicefully, live joyfully, give thanks in all circumstances, pray continually. And in that place, we will find him. We will have community with him. We will know his voice, we will know his will, and we will find our way in following him into all that he has for us. It's as simple as that. It's the clearest picture of his will for our lives. It's two sentences, if not two verses. So I want to conclude with that and just call us to action in one or two things. Okay.